There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these 3, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I propose to you today the church and each of us as the innkeeper of the parable. In this great parable of the Good Samaritan, there's a lot of figures, right? Beautiful. So many applications. You have the unfortunate victim, you have the priest, you have the Levite, the Samaritan, the robbers, and you have the innkeeper. And since this is a parable that Jesus is telling us, we can ask ourselves, well, who applies to who? What's the parallels? And I would propose to you that as members of the church, one of those parallels, is that we are called to be the innkeeper. How so? Let's look at the context to understand. Jesus is answering a specific biblical question that was often debated at the time. What does the term neighbor mean? Especially in Leviticus 19:18. There's a passage in the Old Testament of Leviticus that says the following, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear a grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Leviticus 19:18. Now this passage seems to indicate that neighbor meant only the children of your people, your own nationality. And if this were so, then consequently the Gentiles wouldn't be considered neighbors and weren't then required by Levitical law to be treated as such. But this idea was up for debate, right? And so they posed Jesus this question. And his answer reveals the whole world of God's creation is considered by Jesus, we're his children. Thus, for every Christian, for us in the new covenant, every person is neighbor. And it's up to every Catholic to freely choose to make a neighbor of someone who may not immediately fit the obvious neighbor category. So to understand this parable further, there's 2 premises that I think we can call to mind. First, I'll say this provocatively, bad religion exists, or religion practiced poorly exists. Every human activity was at risk of being vitiated by the sin of Adam and Eve. Mankind as a whole, now with original sin, all our activities can be affected by this fallen behavior, even religion itself. I've been told, probably like you, more than once, I don't go to church because, you know, all these people that go to church, they're no better than the rest of them. I mean, and then they go off. So that's their justification, you know, that we're all sinners. It's like, and if they go, then, you know, then they're no better than me, so I don't have to go. It's true that we're all sinners and we may all be affected by that sin, and even the way we practice our religion can be affected. The second premise is that Jesus is the outsider who chooses to treat us like his own. He comes to the world as both God and man, and as man, he takes on the consequences of sin and death. And as God, he heals our wounds and pays our debts. Because of this, the Samaritan in the parable, who is half Jew and half Gentile, a Samaritan, an outsider who heals the wound and even pays the debts of this man fallen to the robbers, symbolizes Christ. With these two premises, the parable, I think, comes into focus. Jesus, as the Good Samaritan, delivers the victim to the innkeeper, who will continue his work of healing and caring for him for a time until he returns. So the innkeeper could be compared to the church. The souls that are saved by Jesus that are entrusted to the care of the church until he comes again. He's the one who pays the debt. He's the one who cares, but he asks us to be an extension of his salvation. That's the work of each Catholic. The work of each one is to practice religion well, right? We can close this with a passage from St. Augustine who supports this view of how to see the innkeeper. He says the following: robbers left you half dead on the road, but you have been found lying there by the passing of a kindly Samaritan. Wine and oil have been poured on you. You have received the sacrament of the only begotten Son. You have been lifted onto his mule. You have believed that Christ became flesh. You have been brought to the inn, and you are being cured in the church. That is where and why I am speaking. That is what I too, what all of us are doing. We are performing the duties of the innkeeper, says St. Augustine. He was told, if you spend any more, I will pay you when I return. If only we spent at least as much as we have received. However much we spend, brothers and sisters, it is the Lord's money. We are to be generous as Jesus is generous. Now today, Jesus asked that scholar of the law a very interesting biblical question. He says, how do you read it, right? He says, how do you read it? And that could seem like a strange question to us, you know, but it actually was a legitimate question by Jesus. Because when they read the scripture out loud, there was a real problem for the Jewish people. It was written in Hebrew, and as many of you may know, Hebrew has no vowels and no punctuation, pure consonants on the page. And I think rather than from right to left, they wrote and read left to right. So that created a real, with no vowels, they wrote in only consonants, and the words could be misinterpreted, misunderstood. Imagine the word thus. Without the you, it could be this, or these, or those. So when you read the THS out loud to the people, you inserted the vowels that you expected, thought it should have. Now there would be a traditional reading, but there was always some room for interpretation. And with no punctuation, even more room. So the question to the doctor of the law was often, how would you read it? If there's a questionable word, what word do you think is supposed to be there? So just Jesus' invitation is also to us. How do you read what it means to be a good Catholic? How do you read being a good neighbor? What do you insert in there of your own to give it full meaning? We've all heard that distinction, and I'll close with this, of the spirit of the law or the letter of the law. It's a helpful distinction, but by it we understand that while the letter of the law says that we must, for example, stop at a red light, the spirit of the law would suggest that in grave emergencies, one can carefully, looking both directions, move on. Famous example of your wife is pregnant and giving birth and you're rushing her to the hospital, right? Typical. Or the opposite could be true as well. If it's a green light, but there's a funeral brigade passing by, it's not thought well of to try to get your nose through the traffic, right? It's a green light. You know, the law says I should be able to go. No, there's times and places. This, you wait, right? There's a letter and there's a spirit of the law. This is often where it leaves us room for how, what's the spirit with which we live what Jesus asks of us? Rule followers love the letter of the law. Free spirits love the spirit of the law, especially when they can define the spirit of the law. So in the time of Jesus, the priests and the Levites seemed to be generally conceit that obedience to the letter of the law was the highest good. This is clear in the Good Samaritan story. These men knew the letter of the law perfectly. They did not know the Father or Jesus, and he said as much, because Jesus is the revelation of the true meaning of the law, because the entire Bible is the revelation of Christ. A complete and balanced knowledge of God's law must include a living encounter with Jesus Christ that empowers us to live what he's revealed to us, both the spirit and the letter. Jesus Christ himself is the balancing solution. He is the Good Samaritan. He is the one who pays the debt. He is the one who entrusts the innkeeper to be an extension of his care, and he does so to you and me. He entrusts to us all those who need our love, spouses, children, even our enemies, others around us. We are to be the innkeeper for those that Jesus saves and cares for. So brothers and sisters, the invitation to love, as they say, the measure of love is love without measure. To love at the measure of Jesus, to love like the ultimate Good Samaritan, and to be an extension of his love this day and through this whole week, and beginning powered by the sacrifice of the Mass, powered by Jesus, who gives us that example on the altar. Amen.